We want to be able to stay connected with you. You can watch our Sunday services on Facebook, YouTube and our website. You can also listen to them on Spotify, Google Podcasts and Apple iTunes. If you don't have internet access, you can use your dial-in service by calling 028-9227-0922 and listening in. Let's stay connected.
Good morning and welcome to our service this morning here at Deravoggie Parish in Lisburn. And in case you don't know who I am, my name is Nathan Irvine. In case you're wondering, James has not got younger and better looking. He's simply on leave and I'm covering for him. So it's great to have you with us this morning. Whether you're a regular or you're just tuning in for the first time, you are extremely welcome. And as we come to worship this morning, let's just take a moment to be still, wherever you are, and to prepare our hearts to come and to worship Christ. It says in Psalm 100, "Shout for joy to the Lord. All the earth worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." So we have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. Boys and girls, I have a question for you this morning. And I know I can't hear you, but I'm pretty sure you should know the answer to it. Can I ask you, does anyone know who this is? Yes, I can't hear you, but I'm sure you're shouting out the top of your voices. It's Slinky the dog from Toy Story, the movie. And I have to be honest, I absolutely love Toy Story. I have a son who is two and he loves Toy Story as well. And since he's been born, it's been a perfect opportunity for me to watch it again. But Slinky is my favorite character in Toy Story. And he is a pretty awesome dog. He's not just like any normal dog. He can go like this and gets longer and gets bigger. And there's some really cool moments in the movie where Slinky lowers himself down out a window to help his friends. There's a time where he's in the back of a moving truck and he shoots out to try and help bring his friends in. And all that is possible because he has a spring in the middle. And I know this isn't a spring, but it does the same job. But this spring allows him to extend out. It allows him to shoot back when he goes too far. And it is such an important part of Slinky the dog. Without it, he'd just be a normal dog. But with it, he is a really cool character. This morning in our Bible passage, we're going to be thinking around the area of Christian suffering for God. And when people suffer, it can often feel as if they're being stretched right to the point where they can't take it anymore. And their lives get tenser and tenser. And then they have to shoot back in, just like Slinky. But the great thing for us as Christians is that we have a God who cares for us. A God who, when we are suffering for him, will not let us go any further than we can take. We may be stretched, but not stretched to breaking point. We get stretched, but God who cares for us brings us back in. And Slinky has a spring in the middle that allows him to shoot back in. But for us as Christians, we have something similar. We have Jesus Christ, and he is the one who connects us to God. And it is through him that when we are suffering for God, that we do not go beyond our limit. And it's because of our relationship with him that when times are tough, God brings us right back to God. himself. So this week, or over the next month, whenever you watch Toy Story, or if you have a slinky dog and you play with it, or even a slinky spring, I want you to remember that God cares you and that God loves you. That when times are tough in your life, he will not stretch you out more than you can take. And that he will bring you back to himself to be refreshed. What a great God that we have. That we are connected to him through Jesus. And to be connected to God does not mean that we are perfect, that we do everything right. But to remain connected to God, we do have to say sorry to him when we let him down, when we do things wrong. So now in our service, we're going to come to a time of saying sorry to God. So I want you to think about your week, to take a moment and just to be quiet, to think about the things that you've said this week, the things that you've done this week that have let God down. And then we're going to take a moment and we're going to pray to say sorry to him, to have his forgiveness over us. So take a moment and think through your week. So Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done wrong in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins. Restore us in his image to the praise and the glory of his name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Today's reading is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 to 22. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah whilst the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him.
This morning, we're going to be carrying on in our sermon series on 1 Peter. And this morning, we're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 to 22, which you've just heard read for you. And we're going to be thinking about around the area of Christians suffering for Christ. And this may be a short passage, only four verses. But honestly, we could spend 4 weeks studying it and teaching it together. There's so much in it. And you'll be glad to know we're only spending 20 minutes this morning on it and not 4 weeks. But this passage is one of great significance to the Christian faith. What we have this morning is a hinge moment as such, where these four verses connect back to the previous 17, where Peter is talking about Christians suffering for what is good. And this passage this morning was to give them perspective and encouragement in the midst of their suffering. And it's to give us the same today. Peter was writing to a church that was suffering for doing good. And this passage takes us back to the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ to help us to understand that he suffered during his time on earth, but ultimately to help us as believers and also those listening who are non-believers to understand just why he suffered and what his suffering means for each of us. So this week we are looking back as such to give suffering perspective in Jesus. And then next week we are going to be looking to the present and to the future to understand what a life following Jesus looks like. There are some massive questions within our passage this morning. And maybe you've read this passage for yourself and you've came away confused or came away with more questions than you have answers. But this morning I want us to consider two points that come out of this passage to help us in the midst of suffering for Christ. And they are Christ's victory over evil and Christ's promise of victory for those who believe. So firstly, Christ's victory over evil. Peter begins this passage by changing our focus from our own lives to the life of Jesus. And what these first two verses are showing us is that Christ is victorious over evil. The beginning of verse 18 tells us that for Christ also suffered once for sins. Now, this doesn't mean that Christ literally only suffered once in his entire life, but rather what Peter is talking about is his final suffering, his death. What Peter is saying that Jesus died once on behalf of each of his readers and on behalf of each of us for our sins so that we may be forgiven. This isn't an act that needs to be repeated over and over again, but it's one that covers all of humanity's sins if they accept it and accept Jesus. Remember, Peter is writing to a church who are suffering for Christ for doing what is good. So not only is this a proclamation of Christ's ultimate sacrifice, it is also a reminder that Jesus also suffered and that he suffered on behalf of others. The righteous for the unrighteous. This is key. Jesus, the righteous one, the one without sin, gave up his life for us, the unrighteous ones, the one who live in sin daily and fall short of the glory of God. Peter is making it crystal clear to us, his readers, that Jesus was sinless, that his suffering was voluntarily taken, so that you and so that I may be able to come into relationship with our Heavenly Father. When we say sorry for our sins, we turn away from our previous life and we turn to Christ. Christ suffered for us. He took upon himself our sentence of death. So as it says at the end of verse 18, to bring you to God. Christ filled the gap between us and God so that we could come to know him personally. I'm sure most of you have been to London and you've went to see the famous bridge, Tower Bridge. Or if you haven't been there in person, you probably saw it on TV. And Tower Bridge is pretty cool. I read around 800 times a year, it splits in half and it opens up so that these tall ships can pass through it. And the thing is, when we accept Jesus and we accept his sacrifice for us, the same thing happens in our life. The gap between us and God closes. Jesus Christ stands in the gap. He bridges that gap between us and our Father so that we can come to know him through his death and his resurrection. He brings us to God. Now, if you look with me, if you've got your Bibles, to verse 19, it says this: after being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built. Now, this verse, is one that has caused many people problems over the years. Many people have struggled to try and come to an understanding of what Peter is talking about. But what I think Peter is describing to us here isn't what happened between Christ's death and his resurrection. He didn't go and preach to those who had rejected him on earth. But rather, what he is saying is that through his spirit, he used Noah to preach to those around him while he was building the ark. The people around him, they were disobedient and they didn't listen to Noah's call of repentance to change. And now they are imprisoned, awaiting their final judgment. And there is a promise here for us as believers that if we follow Jesus and suffer, yes, we will face death on earth, but we will also be made alive in the spirit, just as Christ was. And there is a warning for those who do not accept Jesus, that after death, there will be no eternal life. There will be imprisonment and separation from God. You see, this is meant to be an encouragement for us as those who follow Jesus, that ultimately, despite being put to death, Jesus has the final victory. Death could not hold him. Christ is victorious, and as the one who suffered, he invites those who turn away from their sins and accept him into that victory also. This is a relationship that calls each of us to be more like Christ himself, to live as he lived, to think as he thinks, to do as he did. So therefore, when we follow Jesus, suffering isn't just a possibility. It is a guarantee. Jesus tells his disciples to take up their cross and to follow him. This isn't a call to an easy life, but rather one that will be tough, one that is countercultural, one that will make people think, why are they the way they are? Why do they do what they do? Some will even think that we are mad. But all of this is worth it because of the promise and hope we have that comes from turning to Jesus. Salvation and eternity with God. And that leads me to my second and my final point. Christ's promise of victory for those who believe. Peter, at the beginning of verse 20, brings us right back to the times of Noah, where God called Noah to build an ark and to preach repentance to those around him, because God was going to send a flood and that he was going to wipe out all of humanity because of their sins. So Noah built the ark and he preached for 120 years, but he couldn't persuade people to change. So only Noah and seven of his family went into the ark and were spared God's wrath, despite surely thinking how crazy this request must have been from God, to build an ark to a certain size, to bring a certain amount of animals into that ark. Despite people around him thinking he must have been mad, he remained obedient to God. No matter what the people thought, or despite the rejection that his preaching received, he remained obedient. And ultimately, he and his family were saved. Those who were disobedient and rejected God's offer of salvation were sentenced to death. They were sentenced to, as verse 19 says, imprisonment. And there is a massive challenge here in this verse to all of us. For those who believe in Jesus, we must remain obedient to God. No matter what pressures we face, or how mad people may think we are, we must remain obedient and faithful to him at all times. Because it is through that obedience that we share in Christ's victory. We must stand firm in him. And maybe you're listening this morning and you don't follow Jesus, and you haven't turned away from your sin. Then the challenge to you this morning is clear. Will you become obedient to Christ? Or will you remain disobedient to him, like those in the days of Noah? Because becoming obedient to Christ and entering into a relationship with him, yes, will bring suffering, but also it leads to everlasting life. However, disobedience and rejecting this incredible offer of salvation ultimately leads to death. Peter, in verses 21 and 22, talks about the importance of baptism and what that means. And he says this, "And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities and powers in submission to him." And it's important to say here that Peter is not simply saying that if you are baptized, then you are saved. And that's why he clarifies it by saying it's not about the removal of dirt from the body, but rather the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. Baptism is an outworking of salvation, not salvation being the outworking of baptism. Baptism symbolizes us dying to ourselves as we go down into the water and being raised to new life in Christ as we come up. It is a public declaration that we are all for Christ and that he has won us. And I love how John Piper describes the meaning of baptism. He says that it, baptism, stands as a constant reminder that the worst suffering has been averted. Christ took it for us. We will never have to come into judgment. There is now no condemnation. We have already died that death in Christ and been raised in him. Therefore, our present suffering is not the wrath of God, but the loving discipline of our Father and the preparation for glory. So how does this help us, and how does this encourage us in the midst of suffering? You know, one of the greatest tricks that the devil likes to play on Christians is that when we are suffering, he likes to plant the idea that Christ has abandoned us. But what Peter is teaching us is that suffering is not a sign of God abandoning us, but rather is a part of the process of following him. Now, if you know me, you'll know I am a huge Manchester United fan. And last year, Manchester United got a new manager, a legend called Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And when he arrived, he made a statement saying that for Manchester United to get to the place there where he wants them to be, to play the way he wants them to play, to win trophies again, that they must suffer in the process. So what he meant was that there's going to be times where they are absolutely rubbish. They're going to be in the ground and they're losing games. But there'll be times when they're high, when they're winning and they're doing well. And this year, I must admit, has felt mostly like suffering being a United fan. But they finished third, which is okay, but it shows you that his process was working. And that is what Peter wants us to take away from this passage this morning. That despite our suffering, it is part of the process of following Christ. Christ himself suffered. However, he has paid the price for our sin, suffering the wrath of God for us, and brought us safely to him. And that through suffering, we will become more like him. He wants us to encourage our hearts and our minds to heaven. Verse 22 states that Jesus is seated at God's right hand, where angels, where authorities and the powers have submitted to him. Christ is in control of all things. And if we believe in him and we are obedient to him, even in the midst of suffering, we too shall join in his victory. So as we come to a time of prayer, when I was preparing for this morning, the prayer that got stuck in my head was quite a simple one. It was quite simply, "Your will be done." So for the first section of our prayers, I want to use some words from a song called Your Will Be Done, quite ironically, by a band called City of Light. And if you've got time, go to YouTube and give it a listen to. But I want to use these words as our own prayer this morning. As we go to God and we pray, Your Will Be Done. Let us pray. When I am lost, when I am broken, in the night of fear and doubt, still I will trust in my good Father. Yes, to one great King I bow. As Jesus rose, so I shall rise, in ransom glory at the throne. My heart restored, with all your saints I sing. Father, not my will, but yours be done. As we go forth, our God and Father, lead us daily in the fight, that all the world might see your glory and your name be lifted high. And in this name we overcome, for you shall see us safely home. Now as your church, we lift our voice and pray, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Father God, we give you thanks and praise for who you are and for all that you have done for each of us. We thank you that you are a loving Father who pursues us when we stray and welcomes us back with open arms. We thank you that you loved us so much that you gave up your Son so that we may come to know you. Help us to live lives that reflect your love and commitment to us. Lord, we pray for our nation and for the world, as together we face the threat of COVID-19. For those who have lost loved ones, God, we pray that you will bring them comfort and reassurance that you are in control of all things. Lord, we pray for those who are doing research into a vaccine. And God, we beg that you will give them wisdom. And may a vaccine be found and available as soon as possible. And Father, we want to pray for our loved ones. We want to bring before you this morning all those known to us who are struggling. And in a moment of silence, we do just that. God of healing, we ask that every person brought before you this morning may know your healing, loving, and guiding hand on their lives right now. No matter what they are facing, may you reassure them that you are the sovereign King of Kings and that you are in control. And the collect of today. Blessed are you, O Lord, and blessed are those who observe and keep your law. Help us to seek you with our whole heart, to delight in your commandments, and to walk in the glorious liberty given us by your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning. And I pray as you go out into a new week that you may know the blessing of your Saviour over your life and that you may delight in His will. Amen.